Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. And when they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet, whose name was Bar-Jesus. And he was who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for thus his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze upon him and said, "You are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness. You will not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time." And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him. He went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw that what happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. Now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But going off from Perga, they arrived at Pisidian Antioch, and on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogue and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the synagogue officials sent to them, saying, "Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it." And Paul stood up and, motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he led them out of it. And for a period of about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land as an inheritance, all of which took about 450 years. And after these things, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. And when they had asked for a king, God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And after he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. From the offspring of this man, according to promise, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus.' After John had proclaimed before his coming a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, while John was completing his course, he kept saying, 'What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. But behold, one is coming after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie. Brethren, sons of Abraham's family, and those among you who fear God, to us the word of this salvation is sent out. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, recognizing neither him nor the utterances of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled these by condemning him. And though they found no ground for putting him to death, they asked Pilate that he be executed. And when they had carried out all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, the very ones who are now his witnesses to the people. And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled this promise to our children, and that he raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second psalm, 'Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee.' And as for the fact that he raised him up from the dead, no more to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David.' Therefore he says, he also says in another psalm, 'Thou wilt not allow thy holy one to undergo decay.' For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. But he whom God raised did not undergo decay. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Take heed, therefore, that the things spoken of in the prophets may come upon you. Behold, you scoffers, and marvel and perish, for I am accomplishing a work in your days, a work which will never believe, which you will never believe, though someone should describe it to you." And as Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For thus the Lord has commanded us, 'I place you as a light for the Gentiles, that you should bring salvation to the end of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout the whole region. But the Jews aroused the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. They shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Amen. This starts a whole new chapter. Obviously, it's a chapter new. Chapter 13. But if you see the way that the book of Acts is laid out, we can kind of say it like this. If you do a quick summary, right? The Old Testament is the redemptive works of God, right? The New Testament is the redemptive works of God through Christ, or we could say the Gospels. We get to Acts, and it's the redemptive works of Christ, you know, not talking about the Holy Spirit, but through the church. And so Acts is basically, it says the Acts of the Apostles, it's basically the history of the church, the early church going forward. And so it's broken up into four different segments. And so the first part was the beginning of the church. You know, you had Pentecost, that basically went until about, finished at chapter 2. And then you had a course of the church in Jerusalem, right? This is what was going on, right? And then you had, that went to, ended at chapter 5. And then you had the extension of the church in Palestine, but through the diaspora, you know, where people had scattered all over the place, you know. And then the next part starts 13, you know, chapter 13 starts. And this is the extension of the church in Asia Minor and in Europe. And then the last part would be the extension of the church in Rome. And so we see that Luke kind of breaks this up into different regions. And remember, he said that you should be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, right? The ends of the earth. And that's basically how he breaks up his thinking, right? He talks about the church, where it's at, the beginning of the church, right? The church in Jerusalem, right? And then in, you know, Judea, right? Samaria, you know, that area. And then it goes off into Asia Minor, into Europe, you know, and then eventually down to Rome. And we see, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, right? And so that's kind of how, you know, it's laid out. You guys seem a bit bored by that, but okay. So we'll get to the text now. Okay, so this is the first missionary journey, right? They're in Antioch, and it gives a little summary statement before. They're at Antioch, and notice, right, he says here that there were prophets and teachers. You know, Paul will later write on that, you know, that God in the church, right, apostles, first apostles, you know, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. You know, and so we see the governance of the church, you know, being expressed as the church begins to grow, right? First of all, the apostles, you know, basically used to do all the work. They were the main people. And incidentally, there are more than 12, you know, throughout the book of Acts. I mean, there are so many different ones, you know, outside of the 12 disciples, or 11 plus Matthias, right, the 12. You know, and so some people always get this idea that there were only 12. No, there were a lot more. James, you know, who was not part of the 12, obviously, was considered, and he'll come up in quite a bit of prominence in chapter 15, you know, as an apostle, you know, and continues on and on. And there are a lot of prophets and teachers, and, you know, and then a slew of evangelists come on the scene, and then pastors, you know, like Timothy and other ones are now, you know, set in certain areas to pastor these churches. And so we see how God has instituted the governance, you know, during these times, and, you know, which makes an interesting point, you know, because In our modern day church, I mean, there are whole movements. I mean, I was a part of a huge movement, Pentecostal movement, the Assemblies of God, you know, and they don't believe in apostles, or they don't believe in modern day apostles, you know, which is, you know, and a lot of big denominations and groups of people, right? Which makes you think, like, wow, you know, like, how do they read the Bible? Right? I'm not trying to make such a critique on my, you know, old denomination, you know, and whatnot. But it's, you know, you think, well, you know, when you see this and you see how the governance is laid out, you know, and which goes to mind for us, right? Do you think if we went back to New Testament Christianity, New Testament, you know, order, you think that we would become more fruitful in our ministries? I think so. You know, I mean, it kind of just makes sense, right? I mean, if we went back to, like, the New Testament church, the governance of the New Testament church, their order, you know, the way that God instituted things, you know, if we go back to those things, I think we'd be much more fruitful. You know, and so this is what we get the word fivefold ministry. Notice they were ministering to the Lord, they were fasting, and chapter 13, a shift occurs. And if you read it really fast, you'll totally miss it, right? In verse 2, it says here, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit, right? Who is organizing the church? The Holy Spirit. Who is sending out his laborers? The Holy Spirit, right? Verse 4 said, so being sent out by the council, right? Being sent out by the mission agency, right? Being sent out by the church? No, being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Right, so it's the Spirit of God that's building his church. You know, it's the Spirit of God that's doing the work. You know, but they were ministering to the Lord, fasting, and the Holy Spirit said, take note of this very carefully, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. Okay? Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. Now, a shift occurs, right? Verse 42, we get these guys again, and now, as Paul and Barnabas were going out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in Jewish in writing, in the mindset, right, whoever is mentioned first, right, has more prominence. I think this is pretty true in most cultures that we're around, right, especially more of an Asian culture. You know, in Korean and most, right, the man would always come first, right? You know, and so I'm not saying that's right or anything, but that's just the fact. And so we see here that in this context, right, it was Barnabas and Saul, which was important because Barnabas was the one that was giving credibility to Saul, right? But two things occurred. Saul becomes Paul, and then the equation shifts, and now it's Paul and Barnabas. You know, the more I read the book of Acts, I make two comments. The more I read the book of Acts, number one, I am really amazed by Barnabas. You know, this was a special guy. You know, we know from the beginning of the book of Acts that his name means son of encouragement. You know, and Barnabas, right? I mean, really, this guy had the gift of encouragement. That's all he did, you know. And the gift of encouragement just doesn't mean, you know, hey, you're a good guy. You know, like you know, it's not just in words, right? Barnabas brought Paul into the inner circle. Barnabas vouched for Paul, you know, or at this time Saul, right? When everyone was afraid of him, when they knew him to be the murderer of Christians, you know, Barnabas went out of his way. He encouraged Paul, you know, and he encouraged people around him to accept Paul, right? And so I mean and in the same way, right, that he was such an encourager that when he was not the focal point, it was okay, right? You know this is a very, very rare trait to have, right? Especially like someone that's like tasted power, you know, or been in that place of prominence. And then to come to a place where he is now subservient, right? It's very, very difficult. You know, most of us, we go from a place of subservience, right? Or like we come under somebody and then we make our own, you know, kind of place. And that's something about someone's character, right? I mean, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, right? I think it would be very, very difficult for me to now work for somebody else. I'm just being honest, right? This is who I am. You know, it's also part of my calling as well, right? But I mean, I'm sure if the Lord asked me to and said, hey, I want you to join a movement and come under, you know, so and so, you know, I mean, if it was a word of the Lord, yeah, I think, you know, but it would be challenging, you know. And so we're finishing up this year, and so we have our staff interviews, right? And it's not, you know, it's just a time for me to sit down with every person on our staff, and you know, and just talk about the year, you know, how can I be a better boss, you know, is there anything you need from me, anything you need from the church, you know, and so forth. And it's not so much talking about employees' performance, right? You know, I mean, if the employee is not performing, you know, they wouldn't be here, right? I mean, that, so it's not about those things. You know, and part of that, and speak of the man, right? And part of that, so I was talking to Pastor Eugene, you know, and because, you know, he came from a senior position, you know, in the States where he was running his own ministry. And now he's, you know, in Solomon's Porch where now he's an associate pastor, you know. And so we're talking, and I said, yeah, you know, at first, if I'm going to be honest, I was a little, you know, had a little trepidation, you know, in the sense that, you know, you came from a head position, you know, now to an associate position, you know, and just how you're going to handle it. You know, it's like, oh, I love it, you know. And but see, it takes a certain characteristic, you know what I mean? It takes a Barnabas mentality, right? You know, someone that is, you know, serves someone else's vision. You know, we talk about sonship, and these type of things, right? And Barnabas was this person, you know. And I tell you, the more and more I read about this guy, right, the more and more I'm just like, man, this guy was amazing, you know. And especially we'll read a few chapters later on, and there becomes this huge dispute with John Mark, right? You know, John Mark, you know, he's kind of a baby, you know, he's missing his family too much. And so they went on a journey, and he basically dropped the ball, and he had to leave. Right, and so Paul is very upset. Okay, I'm giving you so much detail now, you know. And Barnabas risked his relationship with Paul to go and take care of John Mark. That's pretty, like, you know. And so to the point where they split ways. Right. So later Paul takes on Silas, and then Barnabas, another missionary team, takes John Mark with him. You know, and if you read later on in Paul's epistles, John Mark played a huge role. Right, in his last days of the Apostle Paul, right? So, I mean, full restored relationship, but it was Barnabas that made that happen. You know, he's such a unique character. And maybe because, you know, maybe I admire Barnabas because, like, that's not my DNA. You know what I mean? You know you always want to be something that you're not. You know what I mean? Like, you always admire, look up to, you know, to some characteristics that you're really not. You know, and so, yeah, so, okay, that's enough Barnabas, right? We'll get to him a little bit later on. And so so a shift occurs, right? And so now it's Paul and Barnabas, and Paul now takes the forefront, you know, and Paul becomes the leader of this particular movement or this particular group, this missionary team, and we see, you know, fruit that comes out of it, right? And I mean, Paul is an incredible, incredible speaker. Right, you know, I know people say, you know, that, oh, he was boring and, you know, and stuff like this. And, you know, even in 1 Corinthians, he says, you know, I did not come to you with superiority of speech and blah, blah, blah. You know, and when people talk about, you know, what's the name of that kid that fell off, you know, the windowsill, Eutychus, right? You know, and these things, well, I mean, you know, honestly, if someone's going to preach all into the night, right, I mean, you know, 6-7 hours, I'm sure most of us would fall asleep, even if it, you know, was the most famous preacher in the world or something, right? I mean, that's a pretty long night and things. But if you read this, and if you want to think and says, oh, you know, can I get, like, the history of Israel, like, in one shot, you know, I recommend Stephen's kind of speech that he gives before he gets martyred. And then this one here, you know, where I mean, it's not so grandiose like Stephen's, but it's like quick and to the point, right? You know, he talks about the people of Israel, you know, kind of where they faltered here and there, right? And then God brought kings and judges, and, you know, it continues on, and he gets to Jesus, right? And, you know, and thus, you know, stating that case of who Jesus is. And then, the words were so powerful that people begged them to come back the next week, right? Well, notice one thing before that, right? First of all, God brings the opportunity to share the word, right? In the sense that they were just reading the law, Right? And then the official said, hey, bros, right? If you have any word of exhortation, say it. Right? I mean, just randomly, right? These officials say, hey, you know, you guys are visitors. You know, you wanna share the pulpit? Can you imagine how crazy that would be? Can you imagine on a Sunday morning we're here at church, right? And some visitors come to the church, and all of a sudden I say, hey, you guys want to preach? Go ahead, come on up, right? I mean, it's kind of crazy, you know, to think about. And so this is what happens. Obviously, it's a different context, you know. And so these guys come up, and, you know, God brings the opportunities to share. Listen, if you're faithful, right, if you're faithful in walking with the Lord, and you're faithful in wanting to walk in the purposes of God, God will give you opportunities to share your faith. You know, you're not going to have to bend people's ear, bend people's arm, right? God will bring opportunities in your life to share your faith. You know, God is always faithful to do that. And so he shares, you know, God gives them the words to speak, an incredible, you know, time happens. And then, you know, these guys are so blown away, he says, please come next week, right? They come next week and the whole city shows up, right? Now, remember, in each part of this journey, right, the beginning of the church in Jerusalem, the church in the diaspora, and now the church going out to Asia Minor, Europe, again, you're seeing opposition time and time again. You know, at first it happened with Bar-Jesus, right, you know, this magician, and then now we see the Jews, right, that were there, were jealous and filled with rage, and then the leading Jews caused the prominent people in the area to kick them out. And you'll see time and time again opposition. You know, but then you see time and time again that though even though the enemy used it for harm, God turned to good. In the sense that of this magician, boom, struck down just like that. Right? He became blind, you know, totally unable to do what he needs to do. Right? In the case of the Jews that were speaking up, right, it turns Paul and says, all right, Jews, you had your shot. We're going to the Gentiles, which was actually, that was the plan from the beginning. You know, you see Paul getting sidetracked all the time, right? And so here he goes, and so we see the enemy cause for harm, and God turned it into good, right? So they get released. Another group, you know, another kind of attack comes where they have to leave the country. So where do they go? They go to another city. Right, where the enemy caused for harm, planned for harm, God turned to good. Right, and you see that every one of these things, right, you know, the difficulties or whatever happened, God flips it around. He either, you know, right there at the moment takes care of it, you know, silencing the critics, you know, or he changes their purpose and their direction, right, or he moves them to another location so that the gospel could be spread. Right, I mean, you kind of see a beautiful kind of pattern here in chapter 13. So, let's close our eyes today. We think with that in mind. You know, Joseph first said that in the book of Genesis in Egypt when he was sold into slavery. He said, what the enemy planned for harm, God turned into good. Paul, right, because now he's been on these journeys, he sees God's hand in his work. He knows that God doesn't do anything by accident. And in Romans chapter 8, he says, God causes all things for good to those who love him and called according to his purposes. Now, God doesn't just cause all things for good, right? I mean, you know, you have adultery or something, you know, I mean, okay, let's be real, right? But those that love him are called according to his purposes. Even what the enemy has planned for harm, God turns to good. In other words, God's got a plan in that. And so I just want to invite you, as Pastor Nate leads us in a song, I just want to invite you to pray, and maybe you're going through a time, or maybe you know someone around you that's going through a time that is difficult, may not understand what's going on, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. God's got a plan. He is the man with the plan. And when we love Him, when we want to walk in His purposes, there's a shift that's going to come. As P-Nate leads us in a song, let's just meditate on that. Let's pray together. Let's ask the Lord to take what the enemy desires to do in our lives, and let's ask the Lord to turn it around. Let's pray against the assignments. Let's ask God to bring His grace and His power to us in that way. Let's pray. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for people in our community where the enemy has brought an assignment against them. Let's pray for God's hand of healing and His touch to come. Let's continue to pray and lift up Charles Han's dad, who's got cancer. Chris's aunt, the breast cancer. Alex's dad, stomach cancer. Pray for Janine, breast cancer. Matthew Doble's aunt, breast cancer. My aunt, pancreatic cancer. Jeff and Janella's grandmother, the gallbladder. Kian's mom with a brain tumor. Belinda, who's recovering. Apparently, she's got a blood clot in her arm because of the IVs and everything. And so, ask God to clear that up. Pray for Alan Lunsford, who had a stroke. Misen's dad, who's got a tumor. Katie Chen, with her heart condition. And Charles' niece, who also has a brain tumor. Pray for the Wagners, multiple issues, healing issues. And Connie's aunt, breast cancer. Let's pray for our friends in the area of their work. Let's lift up Mark Starnes, and he's got an interview, another round of interviews. Looks very promising this Thursday or Friday. Let's pray for Sujin. Pray for John Kang. Genevieve's got a round of interviews this Thursday. Pray for Katharina and Vivian. Let's ask the Lord to provide for them as well. Let's pray. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Pastor Oh. Pray for New Life Church, Pastor Tang. Pray for the Center of Peace Orphanage and Grace Chung and Bloom. Let's pray for the Philippines, Solomon's Clinic, and Mr. Zhang. Ask the Lord's hand to be with them, and pray for Bhutan, and just the word of the Lord would continue to be expressed in those countries. Let's pray. Let's pray for SP Ministries. Let's lift up the IP team and Cascade and The Well. Let's pray for Matt and Leanne and Larry as they lead these ministries, and the counselors, and you know, the people that put time to do warfare and on behalf of the church. Just lift them up. Let's pray for our house churches tonight. Let's lift up Causeway Bay and Mac Daddy, McRobinson, Tregunter, and Waterfront. Let's pray for the leaders and each of the meetings, that the presence of God would just fill those apartments and also fill the people as well. Let's lift up. Lastly, if I could ask you to pray for our Australia team, myself, Pastor Eugene, Monica, as well as Annette and Rachel, we're going to Sydney. We're leaving tonight, and we'll be there until we'll be in Sydney until Wednesday. So be there for the whole week, and then myself, Pastor Eugene, and Monica will be going to Adelaide, and we'll be speaking at another conference. And so it's kind of two weekends in a row. And so just pray for traveling mercies. Pray for anointing to minister. Monica is actually preaching. She's doing a whole kind of little women's conference in Adelaide, so I know she's quite nervous. And Rachel and Ned are doing Cascade in Sydney. This is actually the longest I think Pastor Eugene has been away from his family, you know, I think ever and stuff. So that's what Pastor Carol told me and stuff. So you lift him up and myself as well. We didn't really plan on having a two-week trip, but it's just kind of the way it worked out. And so just pray for our families during this time that we're away. We thank you that you have a plan, God. That we thank you, Lord, that no matter what the enemy throws our way, God, the fiery darts of the enemy, God, that you give us weapons of warfare, Lord. And God, even more than that, God, that you cover us with your grace, God, knowing that no matter what he throws our way, God, that you're going to turn it around some way, God, that you're going to make it beautiful, Lord. You're going to turn, Lord, beauty from ashes, God. And so we just pray, God, that we would be able to persevere, God, to fight the good fight of faith, Lord, and to see your victory come in our lifetime, God. God, in our days, even now, Father, we thank you, Lord. Watch over us, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today. And I guess we'll see you guys in a few weeks, but someone else will see you tomorrow, right? God bless.